Today, on Book Reviews on Wednesdays, we are going to talk about Native American identity. Hello, I am Maria Cuenca, your English teacher at Sabino Fernandez Campo High School. Today, I want to talk to you about Mosquitoland, a very interesting book that our bilingual fourth graders are reading this year. In the book, the author talks about Native American identity. David Arnold's 2015 debut novel, Mosquitoland, is a coming-of-age story that's intended for a young adult audience. The story follows 16-year-old Mary Irene Malone, also referred to as Mim, as she travels alone from Jackson, Mississippi to Cleveland, Ohio. Shortly before her journey, her parents divorced, and her father remarried and moved the family to Mississippi. Her mother stayed in Ohio. Mim doesn't adjust well to the move. She misses her mom, resents her dad, and hates her stepmother. Her mom has stopped calling or sending letters. Mim accidentally overhears her dad talking about her sick mom and decides that her mom needs her. She steals her stepmother's money, runs away, and buys a Greyhound ticket to Ohio. The story is told in the first-person point of view, and it alternates between Mim's present journey, flashbacks to her past, and letters to her in-utero half-sister. The story is told linearly as Mim travels from Mississippi to Ohio, and the flashbacks and letters fill in critical details about Mim's history that reveals her thoughts and reasons for running away. Mental health is a key theme, both how Mim experiences it and how others view it. Her father's sister had mental health issues and depression before committing suicide, and he's constantly terrified that Mim might have the same issues because he's prone to dark thoughts and strange behaviors. Mim's journey is simultaneously a physical pursuit to reunite with her mom and an internal quest to understand herself and learn how to be okay. One of the themes of the book is Native American identity, as about one-third of the way into the book, we learn that Mim thinks of herself as Cherokee, and her mom, we learn, is the source of her Cherokee identity. The fact that the author talked about Native American identity has opened a debate led by Dr. Debbie Reese of Nambe Pueblo, founder of American Indians in Children's Literature, a webpage that provides critical analysis of Indigenous peoples in children's and young adult books. Debbie Reese provides guidance and criticism regarding depictions of Native people in children's and young adult literature. Dr. Debbie Reese finds a lot of inaccuracies relating to Native American culture, and she talks about them on her blog. In a letter to her aunt Isabel, Mim tells Isabel that her mom told her, "Have a vision, Mary, unclouded by fear." That, we read, is an old Cherokee proverb that her mom told her, and hers before that, and so on and so forth, all the way back to the original Cherokee woman who coined the phrase. But, apparently, that is not a Cherokee proverb, and we don't know where the author has taken it from. Mim tells Isabel in the letter that she is so proud of her Cherokee heritage that she started lying about the degree of Cherokee blood in her veins. She said she was something like 1/16, but she claimed 1/4, as it just sounded more legit. She was young, still in middle school, so she went with it the way kids that age do. The more admiration this garnered from teachers and friends, the closer she felt to her ancient ancestry, her kinswomen, her tribe. From that passage, we understand that Mim clearly knows something about blood quantum, so she thinks it sounds more legit if she says she's 1/4 rather than 1/16. That tells us that she's not, in fact, knowledgeable about Cherokee citizenship, as on the Cherokee Nation website's page about citizenship, the very first line reads that Cherokee Nation citizenship doesn't require a specific blood quantum. According to Dr. Debbie Reese, the fact that Mim would feel close to her ancient ancestry suggests that she is operating with a romantic idea of Cherokee identity. She could have said other tribes, as the tribe itself doesn't matter. Mim continues in her letter that there are times, most notably when she wears her war paint, when she really feels that Cherokee blood coursing through her veins, no matter its percentage of purity. Cherokee blood and courage go together. But the Cherokee part doesn't matter. It could be a different tribe. It doesn't matter because in her mind, Indians and courage and war paint go together. She closes her letter to Isabel by sharing another Cherokee proverb. When you are born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life so that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice. But according to Dr. Debbie Rees, this proverb is an ancient Sanskrit saying. Mim signs her letters Chieftess Iris Malone. Later, she calls herself a war-crazed Cherokee chieftess. And then towards the end of the book, she's in her mother's bedroom. She picks up the lipstick and wonders what would it be like if her mom walked in the room at that moment and saw her. If she found her painting her face like some politically incorrect Cherokee chieftess, what would she tell her? Mim knows that what she's been doing with the lipstick is not okay. She tells us that the war paint she does is cryptic and odd, but that it has helped her when she felt alone. Does the strength she gains from doing that justify it? According to Dr. Debbie Rees, it is troubling that in a book about young people who struggle with mental health, people are willing to look away from the problematic Cherokee parts in it. But would they do that if they knew that Native youth commit suicide at higher rates than any other group in the country? It is not that books like Mosquito Land misrepresenting Native life are causes of suicide, but surely misrepresentations don't help anyone feel good about themselves, do they? The stereotypical and inaccurate content related to Native people will not be seen as such, thereby reinforcing and affirming the misinformation that teens hold about Native people. In an interview about this book, a reporter asked David Arnold about criticism from Native Americans about the war paint. Arnold said that the criticism kept him up at night, but that he stood by the book for many reasons. He also said that in this broader conversation about diversity in literature, as a straight white male, oftentimes, it's going to be my role to sit down, to be quiet, to listen and to learn. If there are things I can learn from people I've offended, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to be a better writer and I want to be a more sensitive human. I'm completely willing to have these conversations, for sure. Mim makes a lot of questionable decisions, but across the board, I felt the need to be completely authentic to her character. On different blogs about young adult literature, people discuss this issue. Some readers think that the representation of a Native American character is not the main focus of the book, while for others the misrepresentation of Native American characters and cultures is rooted in ignorance or reflects prejudiced views based on dominant stereotypes. So what do you think? I personally did not think the parts referring to Native American culture were relevant to the story, but again, I am a white female reader with little knowledge about Native American tribes. Apparently, this plays into Native American stereotypes of being on the warpath. I respect the views of others, and as someone who is not part Native American, I cannot fully appreciate the implications that Mim using lipstick war paint as a means to face adversity may have. This is the end of today's book review. Next Wednesday, you will listen to a new podcast about another book on our reading list. Until next Wednesday then. And don't forget that a good book is like a good friend who helps you see life from different points of view.